More records for Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Let's just go straight to the numbers, shall we? Another banner day for stocks. The S&P 500 finally beat its record close set back in 2000. It gained 12 points yesterday to 1530. The Dow shot up 111 points to 13,633, also a record close. The NASDAQ put on 20 points, and the Asian and European markets are following suit today. Shares of Northwest Airlines start trading on the New York Stock Exchange once again this morning. Northwest is finally out of bankruptcy. The airline dumped more than $2 billion in costs during Chapter 11, but it still has some issues. Annie Baxter reports from Minnesota Public Radio.
Analysts say a lot of the potential turbulence is the kind of stuff all airlines could hit. Rising fuel prices, a slowing economy, and an environment where it's hard to raise fares. But some bumps could fall uniquely in Northwest's flight path, namely labor. Bill Hochmuth is a stock analyst with Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. He says even though Northwest had to lower its union workers' wages and benefits to restructure, the airline's now staring down some pretty angry employees.
To say that either side is really pleased with the relationship right now, I think would be very much of a stretch. How that relationship will play out over the coming, 6 to 12 months could be key as to how Northwest does during that time frame.
Northwest wouldn't comment, but its earnings look to be flying right again. In the first quarter this year, Northwest posted $100 million in profits, not counting bankruptcy costs. That's compared with a $129 million loss in the same quarter last year. In St. Paul, Minnesota, I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
A group of treasure hunters based in Florida is touting a huge find in the Atlantic Ocean. But yesterday, Spain filed a lawsuit over the Odyssey Group's discovery. Our correspondent Stephen Beard is here with more. Stephen?
The Spanish government, having heard the news that an American exploration company had found a wreck somewhere in the Atlantic laden with $500 million worth of gold and silver coins, the Spanish government wants to make it clear that if that treasure was found in Spanish waters or came from a Spanish ship, it belongs to Spain and Spain wants it back.
Well, that sounds like a pretty big if. Do we have any idea where this treasure is?
No, Odyssey is not saying exactly where they found it. The speculation has been that it was found about 40 miles off the southwest coast of England and that it was an English ship. But the Spaniards are deeply suspicious about this. Odyssey's vessels were spotted operating off the Spanish coast for 2 months prior to the discovery of this treasure. And there were allegations that the vessels were trying to avoid the attention of the Spanish authorities. There's also the added mysterious fact that the plane which apparently took the treasure to the U.S. flew from Gibraltar on the tip of Spain.
Ah, that is curious. So are they trying to preempt something with this lawsuit?
Yes, what they're trying to do, first of all, is try to force Odyssey to reveal exactly where they found the treasure and the identity of the wreck. But beyond that, they're also making it clear that if this came from Spanish territorial waters or a Spanish ship, Spain wants it back.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. All right, Stephen, thanks a lot.
Okay, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management, also sponsoring PBS's CEO Exchange, shrm.org.
For most investors, hedge funds have been off limits. You need $1 million to get in. Well, not anymore. For the first time, a hedge fund will offer shares on the New York Stock Exchange. The Mann Group says anyone with $2,000 can buy shares. Of course, you should read the fine print about hedge funds. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell has more on that.
The typical structure is hedge fund manager gets 2% of assets.
Right.
All right. That's their fee. And then they get 20% of the profit. So you're really smart. this guy, he really knows how to run a hedge fund. So you get more and more money. All of a sudden, your business changes. It's no longer about being smart in the market. It's about getting as many assets under management as you can. If you get $1 billion and you get 2% of $1 billion, you're doing okay.
Yeah, not bad.
You get $5 billion, you're bidding for Van Gogh's. And then this 20%, what's the incentive? Why not take some big risks? Because if I win, I get 20%. If I lose, I still get my 2% of $5 billion. And, you know, my investors...
Well, they get, pardon me, screwed, don't they?
Exactly. They do. It's reminiscent. It's not an exact parallel to the savings and loan debacle.
Well, you're going to have to explain that one.
All right. We deregulated the thrift industry, the savings and loan, so they could take a lot of risks. And some very smart operators, sounds familiar, doesn't it? Smart operators realized that you could run a savings and loan and take big risks. If you invested in junk bonds or takeovers or all kinds of risky operations, and the investments did well, you pocketed a lot of money. Did poorly, you turn it over to the government and the taxpayer. So it was, in a way, heads I win, tails you lose, right?
but in this case, the government isn't backstopping this.
Now, with hedge funds, that's the big difference. The government isn't backstopping it, but it is the teachers, the pension funds, the institutional investors, and that is the who loses.
But they know that going in. They know how risky it is. So why are they doing it?
There are two things going on here. One is the time-honored greater fool theory. Everybody believes they're smart enough to get out of the game, pass it on to the greater fool before it all comes to an end. And the other one, which I actually think is the more powerful theory, is herd-like instinct. Everybody's going into hedge funds. And John Maynard Keynes, the great economist, as he said, it's better to fail with everybody else than it is to be right and go against the grain.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.